This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. Finally made it into August, Frank, and the weather is kind of holding steady, but maybe we're seeing a couple minor changes, right?
Yeah, you know, again, Carl, it's almost like a broken record across the board. While there have been some stressed areas overall, you know, when you compare growing degree days, the way we use to measure heat, right, the things that Bill Kreiser's working on with his PGR models and how products degrade as heat builds, right? Primo breaks down quicker based on accumulating degree days. So when you use that as a measure of the growing seasons, right, we see where we are now, and we're in fact within a few days of last year and within a few days of normal. So we're like, you know, just ridiculously normal this year, which is actually something that starts to be changing a little bit. The forecast looking forward is calling for, you know, the continued wet pattern. But we are going to cool off. It looks like there's going to be some cool nights ahead. Mm-hmm. However, when we talked to Dr. Buckley, he did seem to suggest that the stress was building.
Yeah, so he was noting July he had a relatively low sample count into his lab for the month. But in the last week, he's seen kind of an uptick. So that's kind of an indication that we're going to see stress in the system, right?
Yeah, and so, you know, my perspective here is we have diseases that are good barometers for the stress level, right? Anthracnose is what everybody associates with too much stress on your putting greens. And if you're in the bent grass or in the annual bluegrass world, you know, you're thinking about summer patch or take-all patch. Kentucky bluegrass, you're thinking about summer patch, right? So these sort of stress-related diseases, these are not diseases that are related to long periods of leaf wetness like foliar diseases are, right? In the past, we were talking about foliar diseases because of the persistent wet conditions. But now Rich is starting to see samples coming in, as you just said, that looks like those diseases are starting to present themselves, which of course makes them happy because more people send samples, and we're always happy to support the Rutgers Diagnostic Lab. And Rich is going to need all of our support soon. We're going to get that support out there for him, for all the people that he services, especially in the state of New York. About 35% of Rich's samples come from the state of New York. So as just, you know, put a bow on this before we go to our next topic that's not so much stress-related and more sort of just fungal ecology-related, we are seeing the stress build. The weather looks like it's going to be favorable for a couple of weeks. And to be honest, most guys are thinking we're downhill from here, except the sports turf guys. Mm-hmm. The sports turf guys are just about to enter the heat of their season. As scholastic practice starts up, we were in Coxsackie this week doing the field day with Joellen and Jenny Gowniff and Kyle Wickings. The team was there. And just really seeing profound benefits from throwing overseeding, repetitive overseeding. The ryegrass overseeding worked there fairly well. But while that's good to talk about, there's a big problem with ryegrass.
Right. So we mentioned this on last week's podcast, the gray leaf spot issue. We've seen that a little bit early in some parts of the country. We got a chance to talk to Rich Buckley at length this week about gray leaf spot and overseeding and what's the best kind of practice for that. What did he say about that?
Yeah, boy, we had a really long conversation with Rich because this is a pretty alarming problem, right? Gray leaf spot, Pericularia grissa, is rice blast in the rice industry, and it is one that will generally blow in with storms. We've historically seen it blow in from the south. It tends to build in high, you know, when you have a long periods of moisture, and it's a bit of a funny thing. It attacks taller cut grass, and it particularly likes ryegrass. Rich did say that while it's found on tall fescue in other parts of the country, he's really yet to see it build on tall fescue. So that's a good sign. But really, so, you know, we can talk about this for really a lot at length, right? There's a lot of issues going on here, but the bottom line is this. Chemical options are going to be limited because resistance is available in the fungus, in the organism itself. So we're having problems with traditional materials working. So you have to rely on resistant varieties. And Rich has been tweeting and writing about this. Rutgers has developed a lot of resistant varieties. And the only challenge you have there is that when you have young plants that don't have resistance – next to plants that are existing that do have resistance, you have to remember those plants, even the mature plants with resistance, are not immune. And so if you're overseeding not, you know, susceptible varieties, because it's all you could get your hands on, and you say, well, you know, maybe I'll lose that, you actually could be making it worse for your existing stand. So one more note to check that your varieties, particularly in the perennial ryegrass area, as you're doing your overseeding or any place that you're putting it, that you're paying attention to get the most resistant varieties available. Now, if you have a lot of ryegrass and you're really worried because you got to get the overseeding done, you better have fungicide available, or you better have treated seed that's going to help with either of those issues. So this is alarming, because you can lose, as Rich showed in that Twitter picture he tweeted this past week, you can lose a lawn pretty quick if you're trying to skimp on seed with this particular problem that seems to be blowing in from the storm from the Midwest, Carl. So while we normally get them from the South, it seems like the way the weather pattern's been this year, it's coming from the Midwest, and that might be where it's coming from. So keep, there's lots to pay attention to this week. And one last note, it can be mistaken for drought. If you have a big gray leaf spot problem and you see an area that looks droughty and you think, wow, why does that look droughty? I've been getting plenty of rain. How come this is droughty all of a sudden? You better go take a look at those symptoms. Go online. We have those fact sheets at our website, as do many of the great pathology websites throughout the country that provide this information. So lots to look out for, something to be concerned about, but I got to tell you, still pretty good growing conditions.
That's right. And that's a great way to end today's podcast. As Frank mentioned, we have all those resources on our website. You can always find them on our Twitter account or Facebook. We're always putting those out there. Thanks again for joining us this week on the Early Bird Podcast. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.